Now, not every Norwegian immigrant was devoted to the Norwegian Lutheran State Church. There was a movement that was particularly popular in Western Norway that was started by Hans Nielsen Hauge. And he believed that anyone who could read the Bible can and should lead religious gatherings. So these so-called Haugians started Lutheran churches here in Wisconsin too, not just illegal churches in Norway. They started legal ones here. So many of the Haugian churches have eventually joined other, as the synods merge, like the Missouri Synod and the Norwegian Synod, eventually they all became ELCA, and that happened to most of these Haugian churches. But the oldest intact Norwegian log church is here in Dane County. It's over by Mount Horeb. The Hauge Log Church is there, preserved. It's in a park. There's a nonprofit organization who takes care of it. You can go visit it. It is still sitting there. Do you remember Little Norway? There was a folk museum near Mount Horeb for many, many years that closed just a few years ago that was dedicated to celebrating Norwegian heritage. And this building was the centerpiece. It came from the 1893 World's Fair in Chicago originally. And Little Norway was owned by the Daly family. Dalyville is named after them. They're a Norwegian family from over by Mount Horeb. Side note about the Dalys, Marie Daly was the very first woman of Norwegian descent to graduate from UW-Madison. But that's not what Little Norway's about. When Little Norway closed, this building, the Norway building it was called, was sent to Norway and reopened there as a museum in Orkanger, Norway. So that's actually where I took this picture. When I was visiting Norway, I took a picture of this while I was there. And it was kind of like standing in Mount Horeb again, but I was in Norway. So when we're talking about the Norwegian legacy in Wisconsin, there are definitely some things you can't skip over. And one of those is the impact of Norwegians on agriculture here. Norwegians engaged in all of the forms of farming that you can do in Wisconsin. I'm not going to pretend that there aren't Norwegians who had orchards or hog operations, but the one crop that is particularly associated with Norwegian Americans is tobacco. And I have a map here from 1919 that shows U.S. tobacco production. And I zoomed in on Wisconsin. It's not high res, but you can see which parts of Wisconsin were growing tobacco back in 1919. And when we put that side by side with our ethnicity map, we can see that the tobacco production is concentrated where the Norwegians were living. And this is not a coincidence. This is uniquely Norwegian American, and it's really unique to Wisconsin. We don't see this same trend in Iowa or Minnesota or North Dakota. It is pretty much just here. Tobacco historically, and still is for sure, primarily grown in the South, but you can grow tobacco here. I took these pictures just outside my house over the weekend. This is tobacco being grown in Wisconsin right now. And the reason it is here is because during the Civil War, the North got cut off from its tobacco supply. So they started growing tobacco here in the North so they could get a hold of their chewing tobacco and their smoking tobacco. And if you have ever worked in tobacco, you know that this is a hands-on, labor-intensive, monotonous, hot, dirty, just awful job. And who gets hired to do monotonous, unpleasant, manual labor jobs? Well, oftentimes it's the new immigrants. And during the Civil War, who were the new immigrants in Wisconsin? Well, it was the Norwegians. So Norwegians did not come to Wisconsin with tobacco growing skills. This is something they learned when they got here. But they realized it was a really good cash crop. And so they kept growing it even after the Civil War was over. I just absolutely love this picture. It's from a journal article that was called Norwegians and Tobacco in Western Wisconsin, written by Carl B. Raitz and Cotton Mather, and it was published in 1971. And what I love about this picture is you can see the Welcome to Westby sign is in Norwegian. And in the background is a tobacco shed. So why did Norwegians continue to stick with this crop? Why did they outlast the Germans and the, you know, the other Yankee farmers? Well, Norwegians were very supportive of agricultural co-ops. They were very supportive of that movement. And during the Depression, when the Germans and the Yankee farmers and the Irish farmers got out of tobacco because the prices were unpredictable, the weather was unpredictable, Norwegians supported each other with pricing information and market information and tips for growing under different conditions, different varieties you could grow as for different conditions. They were able to weather that storm and continue this tradition. So even if farms still aren't supporting a tobacco crop, you will often see this lasting shadow of Wisconsin's tobacco history. These are all tobacco sheds that I took pictures of over the weekend just driving around the block where I live. And they're scattered all over Wisconsin though. And most of them have been repurposed. Most people are using them as machine sheds and for storage and other things. But you can tell that they are tobacco sheds because you can see that about every third board is on hinges and can be opened to allow airflow for the tobacco crop that's hanging in there as it's curing and drying. Now, three of them are old, but you'll see in the bottom right-hand corner, there's a fairly new tobacco shed there. This is my next door neighbors. The Lund family still raises a lot of tobacco, and they built a more state-of-the-art tobacco shed to accommodate their crop. And they have a, you can see they have a barn quilt on the end of their barn with tobacco leaves on it, to honor that tobacco heritage for their family.